Could the folks from the UK please tone it down? Let's pray. Our Father, we long to see our Lord glorified and to sing His praises across the nations of the earth. Empower us as a group of people to bring honor and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen. Now, education is by its very nature about change. When you were born, your parents did not teach you how to hear. They didn't teach you how to see. Have you thought about that? When a child is born and they begin to focus and so on, it's all natural. It's innate. It's wired into them as human beings to be able to do this. And this is true about education. That God, in His infinite wisdom, wired every human being with a capacity to learn. But what do they learn? And how do they learn? And what's the outcome of it all? Well, in the very end, it can be very beautiful or very bad. And our commitment as Teach Beyonders is to prayerfully do all we can to help the individual achieve everything that the designer, creator had in mind for them before they ever were born. When they were woven together in their mother's womb by God Almighty, there was a divine purpose and plan for that individual. And we have the privilege of working with the Holy Spirit to see that individual become increasingly like what the Creator had in mind. Augustine long ago penned a very famous statement, which I've written on the board there, that our hearts are never at rest until they come to rest in Him. We read in the Psalms that the psalmist said that his heart yearned for the Lord. And there is a yearning in the human being for the Creator Designer. And this isn't known. People by nature do not understand and know what the yearning is. And so God in His mercy revealed truth to help us understand. Now, all of you had a choice in coming here and becoming part of Teach Beyond, and we had a choice in deciding whether you were going to become part of the community. I hope you chose us because at some point you went to the website or talked to someone who told you what the distinctive of Teach Beyond is. It's a cluster of characteristics, and you see them in your binder. Each one of them is in itself not so significant. You'd say, well, I've heard that organization is like that, or there's nothing new there with that. Oh, those values, everybody who's a Christian embraces faith and holiness and congeniality, or do they? The thing that makes us unique is not the individual characteristics. It's the cluster taken together that creates, can we say, a Teach Beyonder. And I'm hoping that as you go through those values and as you look at those characteristics, you say, this feels like home. A lot of organizations will ask you what it is you really want to do. And in fact, I sat at a table of leaders, Christian leaders, with organizations somewhat like ours. And we went around our table, and each leader explained what the sort of ethos of the organization was, what its mission was. And two people from me, leaders said, well, our organization asks all those who write what it is they really want to do for God. And they write that out. And then our job as a mission organization is to listen carefully to what they're saying, and then that becomes our mission, what they want to do. And the next person beside him, an even larger organization, said, well, that's exactly the way our organization is as well. Your mission becomes our mission. Now, this may be devastating to you, but that's not who we are. We're not a sending organization in that sense. We are the coming together of a community of people who are asking God for the privilege of delivering a transformational message and experience to young people and old people all across the globe. It's a community vision, and you join a people who are going in a particular direction. We love to have you come. I can't tell you the privilege I feel in talking to you people, some 100 people probably this year, by the end of the year, who will go abroad to the farthest corners of the earth. And they are sacrificing. They are doing incredible things. It says in Hebrews 11 that people like you, the world was not worthy of them. Our Father is, but the world isn't. And there are only some 250, 300,000 missionaries like you in the world. And when you think of maybe 600 million believers, you realize what a very small group you are. I was with a wonderful missionary, one of our missionaries, staying with Bev and me recently. And she said how she was in her home church and just exhorting the people there that they're all missionaries. And you know, in a way that's true. And if that's one of your lines in your home church and with your supporting group, that's good. Because it's encouraging them to have a heart to reach out to people. And in that sense, everyone's a missionary. But you are in a different category. And don't ever forget that. You are being commissioned by the Holy Spirit and with the assent of the brothers and sisters to go abroad with a message, to cross a culture, to leave your home in order to deliver a message of hope to the world. That's different, actually, than going across the street and witnessing to your neighbor. That doesn't mean it's better. In no way is it better. And it doesn't mean that you and I are better people. It just simply means that we have been called to a different purpose. And we must not forget that. And God says in the end that He wants us to be faithful. He's not going to be asking you how many people became followers. How many people did you disciple? I told you this before. He's called you to be faithful. Now, in that cluster of distinctives that we of characteristics that we have in our distinctive is one that relates to the tagline, Transformational Education Services. I've already told you about the word services and why it's so important, even though it kind of makes the communication team a little frustrated with the brand. Where's Kian? Is that right, Kian? More action, right? Well, we can think about that because we don't have to have a tagline. The tagline doesn't make us, for pity's sake. It's not putting service in there that somehow makes us servants. It's like your wedding ring. It doesn't make you married in your heart. It's a symbol. However, it's a very important symbol, and every time we say the words or look at our brand, our memories are jogged. Now, this water bottle is only half good because it's probably Wheaton College that made us take the logo or the tagline off. It doesn't have Transformational Education Services. Pam, we're going to have to do better than that. I don't know whether Pam's in here, but okay. But in the core of our distinctive is the idea of transformational education services. And today I want to talk to you about this. I have until quarter after, I understand. And it's about not a quarter after nine. I see a lot of you, a lot of faces kind of brightened up. This is going to be just a review for a lot of you. And you say, okay, well, that's not really unique. Remember what I said? It isn't so much about the uniqueness of our ideas. It's about the cluster of characteristics that come together to create a brand, create a sense of community. You know, there are times when in my travel when I see backpacks. This one, it has lots of symbols on it. Whose is this belonging to? Are these all decent? Could I read them out? Not all those who wander are lost. Well, that's good. Okay. Well, there is nothing here that I can make as a real statement. So, but I still can use the prop. Is that okay? So one of the things I vowed when I started out teaching was never to embarrass any of my students. That's not really true. So I hope this is working. You'll often see sewn onto the backpack a flag. In America, we used to sew them on a lot. And then we realized that people didn't like us everywhere in the world. And so we sewed on Canadian flags or something like that. Our friends here at Wheaton Bible Church told us when we came that Canadians really are just nice Americans. So I don't know about that, but anyway, when I see a flag, I have a response. My relatives basically came from the United Kingdom. I grew up in Canada. My parents were both American and Canadian, so I've had a loyalty to both from the very beginning and hardly knew there was a difference. So when I see these symbols, right away I feel, oh, maybe I could talk to that person. Especially the further you are away from kind of a Western culture, the more identity you feel. I can remember when I was in Kinshasa in one of the poorest slums, they were showing us some of the devastation that was there and hoping that we could do something in education for these young people. There was a child wearing a Chicago t-shirt. And I just came up, yeah, very nice, you know. And then the person from the Congo said to me, you know, he won't have any idea what Chicago is. So the symbol can be a little bit deceiving. It doesn't necessarily mean the person knows anything about it. But if they're wearing an American flag, then I feel like I can go up and talk to that person. How do you feel when you're on a plane and you see somebody with their Bible open and they're reading? I'm going to need my Bible. I think it's over here. How do you feel? Is it the same way as you feel when you see an American flag? There is a similarity, but it is actually very, very different. Because that person, I would like to come and sit down beside and give them a hug. Which is kind of the modern way of greeting the brothers and sisters with a kiss. That might be just a little too forward. But you understand what I mean? It's a deeper and different thing. Whenever you go around the world now and meet people or go to educational communities, schools that we support, and you say, well, there's a Teach Beyonder, you know that they have the same training, the same presuppositions in the back of their mind as you do. Because they wouldn't be with this organization if there wasn't an aha moment, yes, this is what I really align with. Because there are lots of other options. You can go with other organizations. I was talking to Mark last night about an individual who graduated from this school here with a PhD in theology. Brilliant student. Now leading one of our leaders out in the Philippines. He's the chair of the board at Faith. And he had gone through and done a great job here at Wheaton, and he was ready to go and serve back in the Philippines where he'd grown up. And the organization that he was with said to him shortly before he was to depart that he needed to stay in the United States and work for a couple years in a church before he could be allowed to go over and be a seminary professor in the Philippines. And he said, how can this be? I'm not going over to work in a church. They wanted him to do church planting. So that is not what I've been trained to do. That's not my skill. I'm an educator. And then he ran into Bev. I don't know exactly how the two of you got together. Who told you to go meet him? Was it Mike? Well, it's kind of, we just don't know how these things happen. But somehow, Bev gets a call and she comes over to wait and sits down and has coffee with him. And she said, well, you come home. You come home. This is the place. And you can leave. Didn't he leave in a couple months then?
He
was ready to go. And because he was an educator, he needed to come into a community of people who were using education to bring the gospel to people. All right, so let's talk about transformational education. We've set out three pages for you here, or three sides, in a handout. And I'm sorry they're not in your book. One of them was written last night. I thought, if we can ask you to do a little capstone project, shame on me if I can't sit down and write one up myself. Okay, so that's what you're getting. I thought, okay, well, let me see what I can do in a couple hours. And we got a little design here, and I'm going to ask at least one of you to try to come up with a better graphic than I can come up with to kind of diagram what we mean by transformational education. Okay, so that could be, I don't know who's the reader of all these things, but Helen, are you reading all the papers that are coming in or whatever, this capstone? You're looking kind of quizzically at me. Okay, there we go. But I'm hoping that they will allow somebody to just do a little diagram, and there's a kind of, oh, that's what we need. But you have to sign it with a little C and give us share of the copyright, okay? That's part of the deal. We can go public with your design. Okay, so here are some thoughts for you. And it begins with a statement right at the very top, which is about the outcome of what it is we do. Why are we doing education? There's actually one that I should have put. I told the folks today when they were stapling them together this morning that it already is in edit. It's 2.0 is ready to come out, but it's only in my head. The first thing I need to say is that at Teach Beyond, we all believe there's a heaven and there's a hell. You see, and this is something that people are forgetting to say anymore. It's not a polite thing. People are lost without a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without our Lord living in them, they are going to hell. And people who have the Lord in them not only are going to heaven, but they are being transformed into our Lord's image. That is a basic presupposition that we have. And that's why you're willing to go and leave home. Right? Okay. So maybe all the rest of it is not as important as the one presupposition that's not on the page. And then the second one is that little statement I say about all education is about change. And the reason that's important is because transformation is a description of change, a kind of change. And at the bottom of the page, you see the three ways in which we use the word transformation. And we use that word all the time, and it can be in any one of these contexts, or any one of these ways. So the context is really important. There is change that is like a bouquet of roses coming into a living room, and it transforms that room. It's a real transformation, but it's in a sense a kind of insignificant, normal way in which we use the word, right? And then you have a lot of educators today, if you've just graduated from the university, you will know this, who are quite taken with the concept of transformation. They mean something much more profound than everyday use of the word transformation. They're talking about transformation that extends to worldview. There is a dramatic way in which the student reconceives the world around him or her. All right, and so I give you an illustration. The incidental one I gave you in terms of transformation is in an education setting could be Johnny learning how to use home row. Are all of you home row? Now this is dating me because most of you are typing with your thumbs. But if you're actually on a computer, how many of you do not use home row? Okay, there are one or two of you, and you're putting your head down quite properly. Okay. Believe me, that's a transformative experience when you can type without looking and always come back to home row. And then we come to, well, so-and-so became a believer, so-and-so became an atheist, so-and-so became an environmentalist or something like this. That can kind of transform them because the whole world is repositioned by this new way of thinking, new understanding of who they are and what the world's all about. And we certainly use that. And then we talk about transformation, as I say in this little video you're going to see in a minute, with a capital T, where the Holy Spirit comes in and creates a completely new person. What was dead becomes alive. All right? And so there are these three types of transformation, and we are interested in all three in the classroom. Do you understand? So when we see a student learning how to write or to read, that is a breakthrough moment. It's amazing the lights that come on. And we are thrilled because that brings honor to our Lord Jesus Christ, who created that person with that capacity, and they've acquired the skill that He had wired into them. And that is a great moment. And I hope you can rejoice with your students at the transformations that are taking place in their lives. We would also say, however, there is a limit to what a person can do in their own strength. And so I've tried to capture that in this little diagram. It's really a summary of the points that I have there, the 7 points I think it is, that we recognize that God created each human being in a unique, distinct way. As I said in Psalm 139, the analogy is to somebody who's knitting. He knit us together in our mother's womb, and it says in Ephesians 2:10, He ordained, set good works out there for us to do. And we read over and over again in the lives of many people that there are unique and distinct things that He had in mind for every single person. And so our goal is to help, support, nurture, foster a transformation that achieves the purpose and design that God had for that individual. Okay, so we say fully realized the God-designed purpose and potential, fully rejected. Because as you know, the transformations that go on in the classroom can be very good and very bad. You can have highly skilled people who become more and more and more like what the Creator had in mind for them, and it turns out terrible. All right? That's why you have some of these dictators and evil people in the world. They are highly skilled and intelligent people who refine the gifts that were given to them in horrific ways. All right, so we consider it a great privilege to nurture a direction that takes them in the way that the designer had in mind. Now, we think it's over time that it'll happen increasingly. We also recognize that it's in every domain that transformation can take place, in little ways, in big ways, skills, knowledge, attitudes, in the cognitive, affective domains, and so on. Okay? So I just say it all. There is a maximum that you can come to in terms of self-actualization. This is all I can make of myself and my circumstances. Okay? This is about me becoming all I can be. And do we get excited about helping a student like that? I hope so. Otherwise, you can't work in a public school system. Yes, you can be absolutely thrilled to help a student who wants to be the best they can be. They have lots of mixed up ideas about it and this kind of thing, because we're going to help them, nurture them in decision making that takes them beyond self-actualization. But the baby steps that they're making can become giant steps. And if there is a breakthrough with that complete new birth, what a wonder that is. But that doesn't mean that we aren't thrilled with every little transformational experience that we see in our classrooms. All right. And then we say here that this is all I can be when the Holy Spirit, who designed me, comes in and empowers me to be that. And what might this look like? Am I going to be able to do my quadratic equations way better because I'm a believer? Because the Holy Spirit is somehow empowering me to do this math? I don't even need a calculator anymore. Well, okay. The truth of the matter is that greatness in the kingdom looks so different than what you and I think greatness is. A long time ago, I don't know how long, years ago it seems now, there was a movie, what's it called, Lucy, that you people are the ones who know all the movies, come on. It was about Scarlett Johansson. So she has this drug or something that gets inside her, and she just becomes greater and greater. You know, it shows 20%. Now she's up to 40% of her capacity and 60 and all this kind of thing. And what would happen if we got to, they said, I think we started at 10% or something. If we got to 20% in the kingdom, well, you know what would happen? It would be, I'm so sorry. You know, please forgive me. Would you like to go first? Can I help you in any way? Are you short of money? Can I loan you something, give you something? It's different. It's not about the quadratic equation, although that might be better because you might develop through the Holy Spirit's prompting better study habits. You see what I mean? But that isn't the whole ball of wax. It's about a different person. Okay? Now, what is our role in all of this as we help the student move towards it? Our role is to create the best possible learning environment that we can. This is not my responsibility today. They didn't ask me to talk about how to be a good teacher and how to create these learning environments. They asked me to come and talk to you about transformational education. And in a very few minutes, I have to stop talking because I have some videos I want you to see. Other people are going to talk to you about it. But I don't know whether we have an entire session set aside this orientation, but we actually are going to ask you to go through a training program during your time with Teach Beyond. It won't be onerous, but it'll probably be online. We're moving to an online situation where it's anywhere, anytime, any device. We want you to be able to think through this whole issue of how I can be an effective transformational educator. I want to say, why do we say educator and learners rather than teacher and students? Because a lot of you are RAs, working in camp, doing ESL, you're doing all kinds of things that aren't necessarily formal education. You're still educators. We don't have people working for us who are not educators. So we use the word educator and learner, okay? All right, so here's one idea for you. For your learning environment, whether you're in a dorm or whether you're in a classroom, what does the impact of Psalm 24:1 have for your learning environment? Well, we don't have time for you to look that up. If we get done here, we'll talk about that. But this is for another day. I put a few other verses there. What? You walk upstairs one flight, and you'll see a great mural on the wall, and it's Colossians 1:16. And that changes Wheaton College, that verse. And that will change your learning environment. Because everything you do is oriented around the truth that's embedded in those verses and many, many others as you start thinking about it. God's Word, which you must know and be learning and embedding in your heart, must permeate your thinking in this learning environment that you're going to create. Everything is impacted by God's Word and His revelation. All right, so I've said that we're into all areas of transformation, whether it's ordinary language transformation, whether it's something that's about worldview, or whether it's transformation of the big T. Here's a video that I've done. There are four in this series, and they're now available. I think Krishna told me she'd put this on the page here where you can see these. Oh, it's on the second sheet. You'll see some questions that go along with this. So when you're working on your capstone, you might want to just review the handout here. And as we have time here now, we're going to stop the videos and ask some questions. So we'll see how we do in terms of time. But the first one is actually I've kind of summarized video number 3 rather than show it to you. Video number 4 is called Pursuing Radical Transformation, and that's available on SharePoint. And then I have a series of interviews that I've done with some of our educational service leaders. Helen's here. You'll meet her. But let's take a look at this, and we'll see what transformation with a capital T is all about.
Education is about change, and we spend a great deal of our time as educators assessing this change. We're constantly asking ourselves, are we achieving the change that we have in mind, and have we achieved it to the degree that we or the board or
which
some
one?
Educational authority have in mind?
The one you did?
Yeah, I'm going to make a
remark. Elsewhere, I've reminded us that Teach Beyond is very intentional about change and about creating an environment that fosters change. A change that aligns with what God has in mind for the learner. Regardless of the setting, we seek to facilitate the student's journey of discovery and development, and we seek to do this in ways that bring honor and glory to God. People use the word transformative and transformation in everyday language to describe all kinds of things. It's a buzzword, in other words, so it can mean big change or very big change. In the educational setting that we're using, the same word transformation can be used to say that Johnny was transformed when he got 100% on a test, or when he discovered that he liked Shakespearean tragedies, or when he dedicated his life to helping the poor or reducing the human impact on climate change. All of these things. So whether we're talking about a momentary change or a massive change, we at Teach Beyond accept that all of those kinds of definitions are relevant for us as educators, and we seek to introduce transformative elements into the educational environment with the intention of seeing small or large change that's positive, beneficial, and holistic. However, that isn't the reason why we set out to provide transformational education. No. We're ultimately praying for a grand transformation. A transformation of a completely different type, which supersedes all other transformations. It's the transformation the Bible speaks of. So let's call it transformation with a capital T. We look around us today, for example, behind me here, and we see these beautiful little shrubs, and we can say that they're transformed. This happens to be in the month of May, and a few months ago they were looking dead. So they're transformed. You know, in a sense, it really is transformational. It's a big change. It's true. But it is still a tree. This is what we mean when we use the word reformed or improved or renovated, that the essence is still the same. But when we're talking about transformation with a capital T, we're talking about something of a completely different scale. Because the transformation with a capital T is about becoming something different in essence as well as in form. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, we read that people can be fully transformed by God's Spirit. And if they have been transformed in this way, the same power that was living in our Lord Jesus Christ, raised him from the dead, is now living in these people, those who have been transformed. It's the same power that seated Christ at God's right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can ever be given, not only in this age, but in the age still to come. The scriptures speak of this as a new birth, when this time when Christ comes in and dwells in our hearts and minds and makes us into a living person, as it were. It's an amazing miracle. God lives in me, and somehow I still remain a human being. It's completely astonishing. It's such good news that we pray that all of our students everywhere will experience this most radical of all transformations. So, in summary, when we speak of transformational education services, we're speaking of services which help students of every description and every stage in life grow and improve in accordance with their God-given ability. And because we care deeply about them, we pray that God will use the high-quality, effective educational setting that we create to undertake a transformation with a capital T. It's something only God can do, and such a radical change makes all things new and brings to life that which was dead. That's why we crave it for all of our students, because God's transformation is so amazing and so beautiful, we are not ashamed of it. It is the power of God for salvation. So no, we're not ashamed, but rather we are filled with gratitude, because God has chosen us, called us to be living ambassadors of this completely transformational truth.
All right. We are going to take just 1 minute while we set up the next one. And I've said in the notes that I would like you to read 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 20, 21. I think most of you know this passage by memory. But we're going to take time to read it together, because this is who you are and what you're doing. So 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21, and is there someone who's willing to stand up and speak right out so we can hear you? Maybe I get somebody right up at the front here who can turn around and speak to the back.
16 to 21?
Yep.
From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain.
But that's good. What verse was that?
That was 6:1.
Okay. From now on, we're adding 6:1. Because a lot of people ask the question, well, then what is my role? It's the Holy Spirit who does the transformation. And the apostle says there in 6:1, with the Holy Spirit speaking into his ear, that he works with him. We are working with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that an amazing thing? That somehow God is living in us. And I say this elsewhere, but he lives in us, and yet we're still ourselves. It's a complete miracle. You are walking around as a miracle, every bit as somebody, as much as somebody who is lame who can now walk, because God is actually living in you, and yet you're still who you were. Isn't that great? Okay, we are going to have. I think we're going to run through these whole, there's about 25 minutes of them or something like that. But they're good, and these individuals have given us some wonderful ideas about transformational education. They're organized around certain issues and questions, and the notes that I gave you kind of lead you through that. You can jot down answers as you go, or just have that available to yourself for later, and these are also up on the on SharePoint too. So if you want to access them now or use them later somehow in your fundraising or presentations, that's just fine. Okay.
I have Cheryl Bostrom with me today, and I thought we'd just take a few minutes to talk about transformational education. So Cheryl, how long have you worked with us?
I've been with Teach Beyond for about a year, although I had started to talk with people in mobilization and a regional leader maybe 2 or 3 years before that. So God finally brought the timing together, and I'm excited to be here serving in my role with Higher Education Services.
Oh, we're glad you are. Cheryl, we're sitting in our Horsham office in England. Where do you live?
I actually live in Oxford, so I take the train into the Horsham office several times a month, and it's great to come and build relationships with the educational services team, and I'm happy to do that.
Well, we're here today with Dr. Helen Vaughn, and we're so glad to have her part of our program, part of our leadership team. She's heading up school services, and I thought we'd talk for a few minutes today about transformational education. This is the core concept that we have at Teach Beyond. Helen, how long have you worked with us?
Almost 5 years.
Wow. Seems like yesterday to me, but...
Oh, me too, but I counted it up and it's almost 5 years.
Have you been on pretty much every continent?
Well, I have not been to Australia yet, but otherwise I have traveled a lot and I've been on the other continents a few times.
What were you doing before you came to Teach Beyond?
Well, I worked as a consultant with the Association of Christian Schools International and lived in Budapest, Hungary, and mainly worked in Europe and Central Asia.
What have you liked about your Teach Beyond role?
Probably the people and the philosophy. I truly embrace what we're trying to do in transformational education, and I like the way the organization is structured. I love Jesus, and I just really want to nurture people in knowing him and loving him and obeying him. So it's a good fit.
It is a good fit. It's been wonderful.
We had to pay the dog and the props a lot.
And we're going to talk to Becky a little bit about some of her experiences with Teach Beyond, and I want her to be thinking as we start about transformational education, because that's the key question that I have for her. To begin with, Becky, how long have you worked with Teach Beyond?
I've been here with the organization since about 2013, and I've been in my current position since November of last year.
So tell us, what is that current position?
So I'm the coordinator of Teacher Education Services, and I work very closely with Helen Vaughn in School Services.
Okay. What does that mean in practical terms when you say teacher education? Do you have a program here in Horsham? Is it something you do around the world? What exactly is that?
That's a great question. So Teacher Education Services kind of focuses on two different demographics. We provide resources for our teachers that we're sending out as missionaries. And so we put together things like On Practice, which is a publication that goes to our different missionaries, and some programs designed to help them with their professional development. But we also then work globally. So if international schools contact us, or international directors contact us and say, we've got some teachers that need some teacher education programs. Can you help us? We work closely with partnerships in some different countries, putting together either multiple year programs, or sometimes we'll do teacher conferences, really whatever the nation is really looking for at that point.
Oh, that sounds not only exciting, but a little bit exhausting.
It's a little intimidating. Every day is something new.
Do you do this all by yourself?
No, I have a team of amazing educators that work with me from all over the globe. I think at last count, we've become from 5 different passport countries. Okay. And we have served in, I think, 11 different countries around the world. So, kind of exciting.
Yes, it is very exciting. It could sound like this is a little bit made up, but I actually don't know the answer to these questions. Thank you. She's been a busy lady since she took that role on.
I've been working with informal education and started with camps in 2005, and then started overseeing language services in 2009, and now overseeing informal education since June of 2016.
She lives in Kundern, and Germany, and we probably have maybe as many as, many hundreds of people help us with this around the world. There's lots and lots of volunteers who help with informal education. Okay.
Talk to us about philosophy for a minute. We say transformational education. It's a kind of a buzzword in education these days. What does it look like to you when you're thinking about transformational education in schools?
Well, I think about it a lot, George. I've seen a lot of Christian education through the years, and I think that Teach Beyond's use of the word transformation is what's very important to me. It's has been contrasted to reform, transform or reform. And I see transformation as the indwelling Christ in life. And out of that comes so many positive things, but I'm concerned that sometimes in Christian education, we try to impose those things through trying to reform a student. And so our schools become focused with Christianity being more of a way you're supposed to act, that Christianity is limited to a moral code, and that we miss the key core of what we're talking about in faith. And so when I think of transformation, I think a lot about something I learned in the catechism, and I know catechisms are very unpopular and out of date now, and sideline, I see some good uses for them, but it's what's the chief end of man, and it's to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And I just think that when the focus that we're doing on transformational education in Teach Beyond, I think we are really looking at glorifying God. First, you have to see God. And through our studies in school, it does lead to glorifying Him. and to enjoy Him. It's a positive message. It's a one of joy, and it's one of love. And so I just think there's a distinction with that transform and reform.
We're not teaching people to be good. We're teaching them about God's grace and forgiveness and in having a relationship with Jesus. People are transformed and they have new lives. God's power is found in them, and they can, through the power of the Holy Spirit, be freed from their old lives of being slaves to sin and darkness, and being in a relationship with Jesus, which is new life and light and freedom. And that's transformation, and there's nothing better.
Now, when you travel the world and see this working its way out in different classrooms, can you give us an illustration of something or somewhere where you've seen transformational education?
I reflect on one situation of first graders, very young students, and they were doing timed math drills. And this is a whole classroom of first graders who were very excited when I walked in the room, because one of their classmates had made 25 out of 25. They had, in the time frame, had gotten all their math facts correctly. And I thought about, what kind of classroom is this where all the other children are truly, truly excited about the success of one of their peers and the learning of one of their peers? And I think that comes from a different way of being able to appreciate what goes on in a classroom.
We have so many opportunities at our camps. We've seen young people who come from atheistic backgrounds, and they come to our camps and they find the community. They hear about Jesus and His love for them. They see it in our staff lives and how they treat each other and how they treat them, and they're open to the love of Christ and those opportunities, and they respond to Jesus' love for them and find new life in Him. We've seen it so many times. We saw it just recently in our camps here in Germany at the Easter camp, where groups of students, one of the last nights, were with their arms around each other praying for each other, and young people finding Jesus for the first time. I heard about it also with opportunities we've had in Asia, where the children are responding to Jesus in the classroom in these English intensives, and hearing more about Him and wanting to know more, and their lives being changed, and being able to go back and tell their parents about Him. We're also seeing a change in the lives of young people in Central Asia, where we had our first camp this last year, and where they're hearing about the opportunity to have their sins forgiven, and knowing that. How wonderful for them, coming from a Muslim background, to hear about God's forgiveness through Jesus. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but also the staff who are having their lives changed as well, as they see the impact of Christ in and through them.
So Becky, let's talk a little bit about philosophy, you know, the undergirding philosophy of the program that you have, and this key idea that we have at Teach Beyond of Transformational Education Services. What does it look like to you when you're thinking about the formation of teachers or helping them become really the best they can be for God's honor and glory, mm-hmm. I can put it that way? What would transformational education look like in your mind?
You know, that's a great question. And it's something that I wrestled with a lot and something that my team wrestles with quite frequently. First and foremost, I would say transformational education is not really actually something we can do, which then begs the question, so why do you have your job? But it's something that the Lord does and the Holy Spirit does, and He gives us the ability to do that through Him, which is so exciting. But it's that tension of, okay, so I can't actually make transformation happen, but I'm called to make disciples and bring transformation. So what does that look like? So what we, as a team, kind of decided is when we approach a new project, we look for several things. One is we recognize that transformation happens over time. It's not something that happens overnight.
Yes.
And so we look at requests and say, okay, is this something that we have the time to develop? Transformation also happens through relationship. It's not something that happens as a result of somebody talking to you just one time and then leaving. Mm-hmm. So we really are looking for programs where we can build relationships, which means in a lot of our programs there are mentor teachers that walk alongside of our teachers. We're also recognizing that the Lord is at work in all contexts. We may be the experts when it comes to pedagogy and doing the stuff of teaching, but we're not experts in the context in which we work. And so we want to work in partnerships with our local partners. They understand their local context, and they understand what God is already doing in their local context. So we want to come alongside and support that. And so that's another piece of transformation, is recognizing that we don't have all the answers, but we can come and ask some good questions
and help people
begin to think.
We're right here.
And as you go around the world, are you finding others feeling much the same as you and your team are feeling? Is this a brand new idea to them, or is it something that you're seeing God's already prepared their heart for? They're already beginning to think along that line.
That's really a great question. Again, there are several, it really depends where in the world, you know, we're talking. A lot of times we'll get requests, we'll field requests from people saying, okay, we want to know how to teach biblically. We want to incorporate a biblical worldview. And what they mean by that is we really want to include scriptures in our curriculum. Uh-huh. And what we're talking about is something far greater. And so when we come in and we have an initial discussion, there's often a light bulb that goes off and people will say, Oh, yeah, that's good. So the way I relate to my students really shows Jesus. Which to us is kind of the bread and butter of what we're doing. Is yes, we want to incorporate scripture, but in a lot of places where we work, we can't be over with the gospel. But we absolutely can live Jesus in the classroom and show Jesus' love to our students and our communities. And that begins to have a transformational impact and begins to raise questions from the broader community. Why are you acting this way? Why don't you beat up students in class? Why do they listen to you when you speak in a quiet voice? Those kinds of things.
We want to talk to Cheryl a little bit about transformational education, what it looks like from her perspective as the leader of our team involved in higher education. So Cheryl, talk to us for just a moment about what higher education looks like at the faculty level. What do you see when you see transformational education?
Sure, and I think about the faculty in my educational experience who have been, who've had the most impact on my life and what I would consider to be transformational. And they've been culturally relevant faculty who inspire students to become increasingly like Christ. I think that's really important. Faculty who humbly serve as a guide on the side rather than a sage on stage, and faculty who are characterized by the fruit of the Spirit as they cultivate a global learning community.
You were a faculty member at one point. Well, maybe you're still an adjunct. I haven't talked to you recently about that, but did you spend a lot of time reflecting on these points before you went into the classroom and so on? Were you constantly praying and talking to God about them, or just how did that work out in your own life as a faculty member?
Yes, I did spend time praying individually for my students. I still do that. I also make myself available to them, you know, to talk about private matters that maybe they wouldn't share in a classroom setting. And so several times I've met them in the university chapel, and we've prayed together as they've shared personal struggles and come alongside them, not only to understand the material at a deeper level, but to be there for them on a personal level as well.
We've seen it also in the lives of our staff that come from North America to serve at one of our camps. I remember one young woman discovering that she tried to teach English and discovered she had a bit of a gift for teaching, and ended up changing her major in college and ended up becoming a teacher because of it. Another young woman said that she would be willing to lead worship at one of our camps as a staff person. And she'd never done that before, but she had the gift of being able to play the piano, and so she said, well, I'd be willing to lead worship at camp. And she went on to use that gift in her home church when she discovered she could actually do very well leading worship. So people discover that they have gifts that they didn't know that they had as a result of their experience working with us.
I think that's why Teach Beyond seeks transformed teachers, because transformed teachers are transformational, and they're attractive. People like it. They want to be like them. It's a good thing, and I think you would say the same for children. I think it is a result of, and it's also a cause of.
All right, Christina's going to fast forward to the last section. So while she's doing that, I want you to look at number 4 and the question that I raised after the interview with Helen there. There were 4 statements about what transformation looked like in a teacher. Can I ask whether, maybe just talk to the person beside you for a minute, and then we'll take a hand or two on this. I'd like you to be thinking deeply about your role in the transformational process here. This is, I think, one of the main things we want as a takeaway when you leave here. So just take a few minutes now and talk to the person beside you, or there's no one exactly right beside you. Do it yourself, but think through, talk to yourself here. Talk to yourself. Don't argue. What is this? What you would have anticipated? What these 4 were saying that they thought this is what transformational education would look like in teachers. And what are other things that you've thought about or seen? So we'll take a minute to let you do that, and then maybe I'll take a hand and we'll talk about it. How long this last section is? It like 5 minutes.
The whole thing is 28 minutes, so.
Oh, can you tell from the.
Oh. 23. So maybe 5 minutes?
Is it 5 minutes?
So it says 23. That's what you said. 4 minutes.
Thank you. that's not enough. Some kind of projector?
Almost. Yeah, you can put whatever you want. No more need for a, you know, I'm not that old. I was sitting on my, I would, you know, hand write off.
All of those things.
And now you can use whatever you want.
I remember the old Gestetner.
The what?
The Gestetner that would churn out those blue seats, and yeah, things have changed way, way better. All right, let's come back to attention. Okay, in your small group, you would have, I think this is a very interesting topic, but it's not so interesting that everyone wants you to just keep going. Can't believe it's that captivating. Usually, the people who are least engaged sit at the very back, so we'll start at the very back to see what they think. The question then is, Dr. Vaughn and several others spoke about transformational education, what it looks like in teachers. Did your group come up with any additional ideas as to what it might look like, either for you or in other classrooms? So go to the 1, 2, 3, the third lady over, please, at the back. Could you please just tell us what your group came up with? Were there any additional ideas? That's a very humbling thought that it isn't about us. Is there a takeaway there that we shouldn't really then put in a lot of effort because after all God's going to do the work? Wow, I like that answer. What lucky school gets you? That's great. Okay, we'll get one more comment on this. We'll go to the second last row. The lady sitting in front of the guy using the apple. He shone his light on you.
And I think just
expressing to students that we actually care what they have to say and that we're not going to judge them and we're not going to tell them this is what you need to believe, but by showing them that we actually care enough to listen to them and value them as an individual, I think will make a huge difference in just opening the door for communication.
Wonderful. Wonderful. That reminds me of something. I want to dramatize what you just said. I'm just looking for the most beautiful. Okay, do you mind standing? I need a prop.
That's very funny.
So, I can't do this to everyone, but we had a little boy who wanted to know what was being said in one of the first books of the Bible. I believe it was Leviticus, where they were talking about, we were reading through the Bible together, and we chose to not read sort of the living version for kids. This was the adult version in maybe the NIV or something. And so when it talked about, pardon me if this is offensive, but bestiality, there it was. And he was 5, and he was sitting on my lap. And the older kids, you know, they were 10, 12. And we read through this, and he immediately interrupted me. And he said, what was that? And I said, son, why don't we wait till we're finished here, and then we'll talk about that afterwards. I was very thankful that that idea just came into my mind right away. Which is exactly what you're saying we shouldn't do. And he took his two hands, and he's sitting on my lap, and he turned my head, and he looked right at me and said, Dad, I want to know right now. Is that right? Right now. Because, you see, it was eye to eye. I see you, Dad, you see me, we're going to learn together. And the transformation that can take place in a person's life when we look at them eye to eye and focus on who they are and the design that God had for them, see? Then you can help them, you can be a guide on the side, as Cheryl said. Okay, last section and we're done. This is a 3 or 4 minute clip.
Well, let's go beyond the faculty member and the student. If we're looking for a transformational environment, do you see it having a wider impact for, let's call it the institution, the organizational setting in which this learning is taking place?
Absolutely. And ideally, what I would like to see is, and I'm working on this, forging more partnerships with colleges and seminaries and universities who... they're partnering with us because they want to have impact and serve their local communities rather than just being in their own world. They have an upward focus and they want to have an impact on their local community. They're always thinking beyond what we really need in our world, and of course that's the salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. That what I'm looking for are like-minded universities, colleges, seminaries who want to have an impact outside of the walls of their campus.
Now, in a lot of these cultures that we go into, they're still using what we call a traditional methodology, traditional roles for students, traditional roles for teachers. Can those settings also be transformational, or do you have to be using the latest and greatest and,
You know, that's a good question. I think we have a wealth of research and knowledge to pull from as educators, and I think we would be unfaithful in our calling to God to not do the best we can to keep up with what people are learning and to offer excellence, and not to use that word lightly, but truly devote ourselves to excellence. But at the same time, I want to say that as having directed a school for a long time, trying to figure out what makes for successful teachers. And I know that sometimes I was always baffled that it's not the cool, hip, young guy that's kind of like the Pied Piper and everybody's following him. Sometimes it was a teacher who did not fit that description at all, and I kind of concluded that when students know you're for them, it matters a lot more than anything else. That you want them to succeed, that you care for them, that you respect them, and they know that's important too. So,
I think this is something exciting about our community, the Teach Beyond community, is that we don't feel like we've got all the answers, but we're still learning, still studying, researching, thinking, talking to each other like this, trying to come to an understanding of the elements that God puts in classroom or learning situations that make them particularly effective and, can we say, transformative. So His Spirit uses these different elements, and I think you've just identified one there as a teacher. Thank you very much for your thoughts, and I'm really hoping your department keeps pushing us and making us think about what transformational education looks like in all of our school environments. That would be great.
Well, we'll do that if you'll keep pushing us.
Thanks, Ellen.
Sure, thank you.
All right, so now I'm going to push. Go out, work hard. Act like it's all your responsibility and know that it's all His. Now, may His peace go with you, and may He strengthen you and bless you in the hard times and the good times. And if you go out with joy, there'll probably be tears too. But you'll come back with sheaves as you remain faithful. Thank you very much.